God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series going through the Apostles' Creed, and today the second part of it will be picking up on the phrase, "And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord." You know, too often we say these words, but what do they really mean? And better yet, why were they written? What truth did the early church fathers try to communicate to us that they were struggling with? You got to understand the concept of the creeds. They were written not only to say the truth, but they were written because there was a certain error going on. What were some of the errors that were going on in the early Christian church about Jesus? Plain and simple, was Jesus really God? Was Jesus really man? Was Jesus really our Savior? Now, we may laugh at these things, but we had a couple thousand years to learn and to discuss. But when this creed was written, they were truly struggling with these things. And I'm also going to venture to say, maybe we have learned and maybe we haven't learned. Let me pick up an illustration from my previous parish. I will admit, I have to be careful. In Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod circles, things are a little small, so this word may get back to my previous parish, but it's actually a good word. During my years there, of course, not only did I teach confirmation class, but I also had the opportunity to teach Vacation Bible School. And one of the things we did with our older kids for Vacation Bible School is we took them to various sites. And one of the themes that year was that on prayer. So I took them to a brand new site just across the river. It was sort of a prayer site. It was recently developed as Queen of Peace, referring to Mary, as they had, I believe, a 15-foot or it was a 20-foot stainless steel statue of Mary with a whole bunch of prayer stations. So we went there and we took a look at the prayer stations, and I asked the kids, which one of these prayer stations, which ones conveyed the truth of the gospel, and versus which ones had the history of the church? And we went through and we did all the diagnostic, and then we went inside to the little gift center, and one of the people came up to us and asked if we had any questions. And sure enough, a little bit of bragging rights here, one of my junior high confirmands got up and said, "Why do you pray to Mary?" I'm going, "Yes, that's right. Go, ask. And the response was this. "Well, you know, growing up, if you want to ask something, you want to do something, who is it easier to go to? Your mother or your father?" And I will admit, after we heard her response, and she was trying to elude the kids that it's a lot easier to go to mom instead of to dad, that mom would listen with that more of a caring, loving heart that maybe us dads don't quite always have. Well, we have to go back to the creed for a moment. What does it say? "And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord." What does it mean when Jesus is the Son? Because if I use that example from what that woman was trying to communicate, I come up with one of the errors the early Christian church was struggling with. And that technical term is subordination. I know I don't like to use technical terms here, but it does name the point. What it is was there was an error in the early Christian church that thought because Jesus was only the Son, notice the phrase, only the Son, he wasn't quite on the same level as the Father. So he was a little less than God. This is scary. But if you pick up on the words of what that woman said to us at that shrine in Sioux City, Iowa, it fits with her theology. Jesus is a little less than, so why don't you go to Mary, and Mary would be that advocate to the Father for you. Oh, terrible theology. Let's just erase that out of our minds and start from scratch. Because who is Jesus? Jesus is God. Truly God. As Jesus himself says in the Gospels, "I and the Father are one." Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God, the Father is God. But we do not worship three gods, but one God. This is the whole aspect of the Holy Trinity being communicated right here is now quickly torn apart in modern day by the testimony of that person at that gift center. There are also some other aspects here that we have to truly understand, that God, Jesus is truly God, not a second-class God, not a junior God sort of working up the ranks, but truly God Himself. This summer we'll be exposed again to the Da Vinci Code, this time in movie format. Like the book, well, I don't know what the movie looks like, but the book talked about how Jesus really wasn't God in the early church. It wasn't until later in Constantine's time, in about the 4th century, did he decree that Jesus was God. The author of the Da Vinci Code is not writing truth. If he is, or from his point of view, he's never read the early church fathers. The early church fathers like Justin and Irenaeus clearly talk about how the early church believed in Jesus as God, the second person of the Trinity. They didn't use the word of the Trinity. That truly was developed. That word was used later. But the concepts of Jesus as God, fully God, not a second class, not lower than His Father, was already in place. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we still struggle with this concept as Jesus as God. We take a look around us, not just in early church history, but even today. So, hence, we're teaching it. We're proclaiming it. Now, in picking up that early phrase, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, let's pick up the next concept as Lord. Because here's another concept that as Christians, we have a hard time with. Because too often, when we start thinking of Lord, we start thinking of taskmaster, slave owner, someone who lords it over you, someone not in a positive light. Now let's take a look at what God intends Lord to be. God does not intend Lord to be as someone who abuses slaves, but just the opposite, the Father who loves, the provider, the one who protects, the one who would give it all for the sake of His children. How many of you have been parents? And if you've ever had a sick little one, really sick, sometimes you'll sit there and say, you know, God, I wish I could take on that sickness. Don't let my little one suffer. So it is also with God. He allowed Himself to go to the cross, because remember, Jesus is God, to die, to suffer that pain, so that we would not have to suffer the eternal depths of damnation. We'll pick a little bit more about that later on in the Apostles' Creed. But this whole concept of Lord is not a taskmaster bearing down upon us and making us into slaves, but that protector, that guide. But too often in our world, because we see authority being abused, very frequently, we want to steer away from that authority issue. Even our sermon hymn, let me just pick on the good and the bad from this hymn. One of my little pet peeves, sorry about this. What a friend we have in Jesus. Well, fair enough. But we have to remember, especially if we understand that parental role, should parents be friends? Well, we should probably be friendly with our kids. But isn't there that discipline? Isn't there that authority? Isn't it my responsibility, especially since I have one of my little ones sitting up here in the front pew, to teach? And sometimes I have to discipline. Yes, I have to model and I have to instruct. Am I always a friend? The answer is no. But do I sometimes play games? The answer is yes. Sometimes I can be that friend, but sometimes I also have to be that protector, that provider, that nourisher. Do we truly understand Jesus as our Lord? Now, some of the good parts about this hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Thank you. The author here connected Jesus and God. I love that piece. And where was it? I think it was also in the third stanza here. Again, I'm getting a little critical with the hymn, but that's okay. It's still a decent hymn. When we talk about what a friend we have in Jesus, obviously we understand Jesus as a friend. That third stanza, are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Please don't confuse that Jesus is despising and forsaking you. We just got through calling him a friend. He isn't going to despise and forsake you. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Again, it uses the phrase Lord in prayer. That was one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up, is it's understanding or trying to communicate the concept that, yes, Jesus is our Lord, but we also have to remember it wasn't always so. Yes, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the universe and all that there is. But because of our sinfulness, because of the sin of Adam and Eve being passed on from generation to generation, we could not call Jesus our Lord. It was only after Jesus' death on the cross and His resurrection that God bridged that gap between sinners and Himself, that now we can call upon Jesus. Now we could have put our faith and trust in Him above all things. Now we can be considered sons and daughters of God. Up until that time, and before the Holy Spirit works that faith into our hearts, we cannot call Him Lord. He would be an enemy of our sinful human nature. We are unable to call Him Lord because of our sin, but only through the Holy Spirit is this made possible. Only through the Holy Spirit do we now understand God as Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Only through the Holy Spirit do we understand that God is the one who loves us and protects us and provides for us. And yes, is there also discipline? You better believe it. And through the Holy Spirit, we can call Him Lord. Understanding God's definition of Lord, not an evil taskmaster, but one who truly cares and loves each and every one of us. One of the traditions that we sort of started up very recently with the choir and also our acolytes is when we approach the altar area, we reverence the altar. Very clearly, what do you see in the center of our altar area? We see Jesus. We see Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Right now, we also see Jesus on the cross, two places. We see Jesus. It is Jesus who is our Lord and Savior. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the one who delivers us. And we'll learn a little bit more about Jesus as we continue our midweek series. But this sort of gives you a little introduction and why the phrasing is just so important and why we need to go over these words. We shouldn't take them for granted. We live in a world that sometimes takes it for granted and then has a misunderstanding of who Jesus is. And that misunderstanding can lead us far away from the true grace of God. God does not want us to be lost. He doesn't want us to be wallowing up in our own fears and concerns. Am I going to be in heaven? Does God truly love me? Am I forsaken by God? No. God wants to remind us that He is the Lord. As that last hymn that we sang sort of depicts, and this is one of the reasons why we bring our concerns to our loving, caring, protector, Lord, and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Because He is God. He is the Son of God, fully God. He listens. He is the one mediator, as Scripture says, between us and the Father. We go directly to the source, Jesus the Christ, in His name. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.